Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Kerry.
Guys, welcome back to the Game Junkies podcast. Right, as you just heard, yes, I am joined by Kerry today, not by Alex. Alex taking a break this week. He focusing on other editing at the moment, so good luck to him with that. We'd like to welcome Kerry officially to the team as a full-time Game Junkie. Welcome, Kerry.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, anyone who isn't aware of Kerry's work, where have you been? Because you should all have heard Kerry on Dungeon Junkies, and also when she's made several appearances on this show over the last year. Obviously Harvest Moon.
Yep.
Massive, massive fan of. And also you joined for the wrap-up of 2020, of course.
Indeed.
Animal Crossing is a big thing for you still, even now.
Yeah.
And absolutely right thing to say for sure. Now, this week we are going to be talking about we wanted to do something that we're both quite comfortable with and we're both quite familiar with, and given the world the last week, it's just been bad news after bad news. We're going to try and cheer you up by not talking about any news. We're just going to talk about something dear to both of our hearts, which is D&D.
Hell yeah. So
in this episode we're going to talk about what some of our top moments in D&D we've played so far, and our DM advice for people, I think. And before you say it, Kerry, don't give the advice of don't DM.
I said I had proper answers.
I'm aware you do. DMing is incredibly intimidating sometimes, but I like to think that everybody who does it on Dungeon Junkies does a good job. So we all have our own style of doing it as well. So that's even cooler. Excuse me. So we're going to start off by saying, what for you stands out, Kerry, as one of your top moments?
Ooh.
What's been something that you've really enjoyed doing?
Let me think for a moment. You've really put me on the spot now. I'm going to pick the Edenoi season one finale. Just how everything led up to that.
Took so much planning, that did. Took so much planning. I thoroughly enjoyed writing that one. It was, for those people who haven't listened to it, it was a culmination of literally trying to type. I tied up all the storylines the best I could, and at the same time, I've left certain things teased for season two in that episode. You may not know it yet, but by end of season two, you'll see certain things have been in place since the start of season one.
And we are all very excited to see them.
Terrified is what you should be.
And a bit of that.
Yeah, that too. So, is there anything in the finale in particular which stood out to you? I mean, I know that you, the rivalry between Mick and Rain actually kicked into gear there, because Mick ended up killing Rain's father.
That was a long time coming, I think.
I've known that since before Chad joined the team as well. I knew that was the payoff for the whole season. Not telling Alex, that's the hardest thing I've ever done.
I mean, it worked out fantastically, and it was a very charged episode.
That's an accurate term, I think. Yeah, it was very charged. Because obviously, I love the fact that Lily was literally much built into the chariot.
So when being a very, very undersized dragonborn comes in handy, you can help someone cheat in a chariot race.
When did you come up with the idea of having a smaller than usual dragonborn? Because I've never asked you why. I mean, obviously it's totally cool, but usually dragonborns are 6 foot, roughly. So why did you choose a shorter one?
I think part of it, it's never really deliberate, but most of my characters don't necessarily follow the conventions of what they're meant to be. I mean, if you look at all of them from a bit of a distance. And
well, yeah,
it's just
point.
Something to play around with.
You've got a Lili, the vertically challenged dragonborn. Mm. You've got Ran, the 6 foot preteen furry gnoll.
Cleric barbarian mix. Her highest stat is her intelligence after wisdom 9.
You've got Nunvark, the sparkly wood elf.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Absolutely. I just love the fact of... We're getting off topic, I don't care. This is a nice discussion piece. I remember in the Christmas special, Chad had Picasso refer to him as Sparkly Bro. He got inspiration for that because I was like, yes. Absolutely. Your other characters, of course, are... San.
Mm-hmm. San is arguably the closest to what a cleric conventionally is, but a lot of his like thing is in backstory. We haven't really done enough episodes for me to show that off yet.
I look forward to seeing that, because San's in Caitlin's campaign.
That's right. And for any future campaigns, without going too much into detail, I do have my character ready for that.
Likewise, which I believe you already know of, and I've got to say, heaven help anyone.
It's gonna be fun.
But that's what D&D should be. Mm. And a lot of people turn around and say that D&D is just for nerds. I'm like, have you not seen the world? The nerds run the world now.
I mean, I suppose from an outside perspective, D&D can be classed as like, it's just for nerds. I know I had the problem when I first started that everything just seems so overly complex with all the books and the numbers and just everything like that. But it's actually not so bad when you get into it. And
yeah, we're down to it. In this case, I'll just roll your d20 and tell me what your number is, sort of thing.
I also think, like, you're not going to know everything off the top of your head anyway. There's too much.
No. At the first DM tip, do not try and learn it all, because if you try and memorize it all, you're going to end up hating it.
Mm.
That's first tip for you right there, guys. But thinking what something I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed inadvertently sending you, Alex and Chad's characters to a brothel.
Ah, yes. Alili's first experience with a house of ill repute.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. I was sitting there in the kitchen of my old flat, and it was like, okay, so these guys have come, paint a picture, they'd gone to the tavern to find... to try and find this guy in particular that they were looking for. They found his friend who'd been drinking because his wife had died. Rather than asking for any details about that, Chad's character coerced the key out of him and went to search his property. And Rain and Alili went with him. While they were doing that, Caitlin's character, Tinker, decided to ask for more information. And while that was happening, I was thinking, like, where am I going to go with this? Because I was literally ad-libbing on the spot. And out of nowhere, I thought, I'm just going to play off what Caitlin says to me. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to literally react. First thing comes into my head, I'm saying it. Like, oh, don't worry, I've got three other wives, and I don't think Caitlin realised at the moment I meant at the same time. It was certainly a funny moment, because I literally transitioned across to the other side as you guys were breaking into the house, and Rain almost got clobbered with a frying pan.
It's probably not the first time in his life that's happened.
Well, Rain or Alex?
Why not both?
That's an insight into your family I could have done without. It was a very funny moment. And just going to show you, sometimes the best stuff you use can't script. And you should script, really.
That was going to be one of my DM tips. Here's it early. You will become very, very good at improv.
Yeah. People say, like, oh, I can't think on the spot sort of thing. Anyone who's ever told a story to a child off the top of their head, you can play D&D.
For the sake of the recording, at the time of the recording this, the episode in question isn't out yet, but thanks to the lovely party I have to put up with, at least 50% of my last episode was done on the fly.
That's a massive derailment.
It was pretty scary, but you do become, well, you become more confident in improvising on the spot.
That's not a bad thing.
I suppose now I should pick another moment.
If you would be so kind.
I'm going to go back to my campaign for a moment.
Go ahead.
And the time where Matt's character nearly killed everybody.
I'd like to point out before you continue, Kerry, that at no point was I actually going to cast it. I was asking all of the questions because I wanted to see if I could do it. And as soon as I got the answers, I was like, well, I can't do that then. And they thought that I was going to cast it anyway. I was asking the questions to make sure I didn't kill everybody.
That's why I picked it, because it's one of the standout moments for me. You asked a question, and the others in the party assumed you were just trying to do it. Listening to everybody scream, no!
If you don't ask, you don't know. I've made that mistake playing D&D elsewhere before, where I have... Because there are these things called consequences. When you say something, it happens in D&D.
For the benefit of those who don't listen to my episodes, let's just say electric-based attack, salt water everywhere.
A million times more conductive.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say that Kerry is the sort of person who is extremely fastidious with the sciences.
I do enjoy the sciences.
Not a bad thing, to be fair. Everyone loves some good science.
I also enjoy the concept of actions have consequences.
Indeed. And knowing this is why I was asking those questions.
But I had to pick that one purely for everybody else's reaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely good choice. I can't add any more to that, really, because it was... To be fair, I think I actually was able to... I was able to use Witch Bolt... at a later time anyway, and it proved to be as powerful as I thought it was going to, which is great. And I can't wait to use it when I get to high level, assuming Moira gets that far.
I feel I should be more worried, but instead I'm just excited.
I'm excited because I've spent some time today working out that each of Moira's high heels are effectively daggers. So they technically do 1d4 damage if I decide to put them onto somebody.
Moira's high heels make my legs hurt just thinking about them.
Yeah, I can say, despite being a gay man, I've never worn high heels, and I never plan to, thank you very much.
I I've never really worn high heels. I tried a pair on in a shop, tried to stand up, and immediately fell over. That's my experience.
Oh.
Trainers all the way, everybody.
It works for you. It works for you. End of the day. I don't like the fact that people say you should have to conform to society. And that's the beautiful thing about D&D. You haven't got to conform to anything because it's you create the character you want to create.
Exactly.
What? Okay, another moment for me. The Owlbear Championship was interesting.
That was...
The reason why it was interesting was because it wasn't at all what I expected it to be. I called it the Owlbear Championships. Originally, it was supposed to be you guys betting on owlbears having on owlbears fighting each other. You guys assumed it was we're fighting the owlbears, and I generally thought, screw it, we'll go with it. So I changed it like that. It worked really well,
and we enjoyed fighting them.
And you also. You made it the case of the prostate exam became a thing which is now continuously going through.
Bad, everyone.
You also, collectively, you guys also found Jafar 2.0.
Jafar 2.0. Caitlin's nickname.
He's out there still somewhere.
We're going to find him in his terrible beard.
Yep. Yep. What else? Within that episode, the paper hats were fantastic. That's still in your inventory somewhere, I'm sure.
The paper hat is now in Alili's backpack. Maybe she'll don it again one day.
Maybe. That was really good fun. I had a lot of fun with that because obviously that was Caitlin's debut.
Yeah.
Alongside you guys. Because obviously we only started it to get us... really started Dungeon Junkies to get us through lockdown because it was a really hard thing and it was something to look forward to once a month sort of thing. Now we're playing every week.
When we started, I didn't think it would take off as it did. It just really went for it. And now it's flying.
Yeah. And it helps the fact that we all seem to get on with each other. I dare say that sometimes we wish we'd done things differently.
Yes.
But at the same time, I have no regrets at any point. Well, I have one, which I'll get to in a minute. Because it's one of my DM tips, which is if you know as a DM, if you know that the damage being inflicted on it is immune to it, do not make them roll for it.
Ah, yes.
When I made the mistake of calculating how much Alili carries Dragonborn gets damage-wise, I thought of 10d10. Now, I held my hands up saying that I got that wrong. I held it up very quickly saying I got it wrong. But I kept it. I let Kerry keep it because I thought it was funny as hell. Because at the end of the day, Kerry still had to hit.
And between you, me, and everybody listening to this, Alili has my lowest stats out of any character. And I love her to bits, though.
She is phenomenal. She really, really is. But she's now got the full backstory on her as well. There's more to come for Lily this year, by the way. There's more to come for her. There's more to come for all of them, to be fair. So, it's fine. We have since made adjustments.
Yeah.
And it's now back to what it should be. Mm-hmm. Because the reason why we've now done that is because Lily has since, and this will be coming out, the day after episode 2 of season 2, So it's not a surprise for people. Alili has found her redemption. So she now is no longer Oathbreaker, of course. So she has regained her holy side, as it were. And she now has access to the spells such as Moonbeam, which is fucking terrifying.
You know, when... Because it was Matt who explained the spell to me. When he first mentioned Moonbeam, I was like, oh, that sounds nice. And then he read the description, and I said, oh, that sounds horrifying.
It is horrifying. And not too much of a spoiler, Kerry saw firsthand what it was like last week when we were playing D&D as well. She saw it firsthand.
Yes, and now I'm quite excited to cast it for myself.
And you can literally chase it around the battlefield as well. You literally chase people around with it. You know, like the spotlight sort of thing. You can literally do that with it, yeah.
It's a terrifying spell with a lovely name.
It is. And it's very, very Alili. Don't mess with a paladin. That simple.
No matter how small they are.
Especially not how small they are.
Let me think another moment. I had a few, and it's just trying to narrow them all down. But I think I'm going to pick one of the more... Maybe wholesome's the wrong word for it. But one of Alex's most recent episodes, the little conversation between Ran and Picasso after Ran had turned the man who made her former life hell into jam with her morning star. we seem to have developed a habit of turning people into various pastes and jams.
It obviously you won't know the reference, obviously, but everyone else in the party did notice the reference I made at the time when Picasso, bro, literally went at full speed crushing the other guy, and obviously as Reed, I turned round and said, like, is everyone okay? I see this red smear. That's a direct quote from like the first adventure from the Orc Venture, which obviously everybody, Kerry is yet to get on board of Orc Venture, but that's not because she is against it, but just haven't got around to it yet.
I haven't got round to it, but I have been told they're starting a new one. Alex recommended I start with that one.
Blade in the Dark, yes. Blade in the Dark. I've never played it myself. It's available now. If you're listening to us now, it's all available on their YouTube channel. On Outside Extra, in fact. But the I made that reference, and we often make several references to Orc Venture, but that's purely because they inspired us to get started. So that's not a bad thing.
They make Orc Venture references and I stare blankly at the camera because I don't watch it at the moment.
No, but you know, it's you watch what you want to watch, and we're never gonna make you. I mean, we couldn't make you if we wanted to.
No, but it is on my list and I do plan to get round to it because I've seen clips of it. More clips, Alex has been, you have to come and watch this bit. And I've seen clips from, did they turn orphans into cement or something like that?
That is correct, yes.
Like, okay.
Hello, bosses. They have found some skeletons which will do anything you ask of you. And if you ask them, that has a huge cost. So, for example... they asked them to rebuild the town hall, so they used they broke the orphanage down to build the town hall. Rebuild the orphanage, okay, we'll use the orphans as cement. So, this is the part which is arguably more funny, because Dob, who is their half-orc bard, was taking the, quote, management role. He actually turned around at that point, and he's like, skeletons. He wanted to find out if the skeletons were cursed or something like that. At this point, I'd like to attempt to cast Mending on the Orphans.
Oh, no.
That's the reaction, because it's a live show as well. There's 250 people in the audience who just went, oh. To which Merwin, Ellen, who's played Merwin, said, like, should we get them out of the brickwork first? And then the gross is like, they're like, I don't know, we probably need a sponge? Like, yeah. Oh, no. And then they did. The skeletons managed to get them out of it and formed like a puddle, basically. And he's going to try and cast Mending on them. And Jane, who's the tiefling, says, it's going to be like a snowman formed out of orphan juice. And the DM said, it is pretty much going to be that. And then they rolled for how many orphans had been killed. It was 15.
Oh, God.
And Dob has been carrying that person ever since. It's been brilliant.
I suppose no matter what any characters in any of our parties have done, we never made cement out of orphans.
Yet.
Yes.
That hasn't happened. Nothing on that level has happened yet. Although you guys don't know what's not coming yet for you guys.
I can say the same.
But Tony said that there's nothing, it's not going to be that terrifying, I hope.
Mm.
Right. I'm going to think of another one for me. Got a lot of love for Reed, I'll be honest. I created him originally because he was a joke character. I didn't know how serious Alex was making it, and then it turned out, okay, this is gonna be quite a serious campaign. So I thought, okay, I will make some adjustments. And in fact, he's still comedy relief at times.
Mm.
But when I got a message from Alex saying, just so you know, this is happening, I'm like, okay, cool. Wasn't told anything about it. And then out of nowhere, he gives my character Reed a wife, which I left after 2 weeks. And I just run with it. And because of this, I became Bastard Bro.
Small Captain Bastard.
From Ran. Tell you what. It's in such a serious storyline, and it is a really serious storyline. There's a huge war going on and everything. There is still so much comedy to be had, and I think you'd agree, Kerry, we have had a massive amount of fun with that.
Yeah.
I'm quite glad that Reed isn't the prophet, as it were.
Yeah.
But the fact may be that Reed is the captain of the ship purely because he's got the most charisma. Otherwise, he wouldn't be.
Unfortunately for the captain, nobody seems to respect him as much as they should.
The only person who seems to is Crimson Tide.
I mean, Ran does use captain when she's addressing you.
More Captain Bastard, yes. In fairness, yes, she does.
I think... Alex's campaign in general, he's struck the right amount of serious with comedy, and it's an incredibly unique campaign.
He was so worried that people weren't going to like it.
That was fantastic.
But as proven by the fact of every time you look on the SoundCloud charts, and that's just SoundCloud, that's not looking at iTunes and Spotify, Google Play and all that stuff, you'll always see at least one of his episodes in the top 30, and that's great to see. There's a lot of amazing content on the network.
Yeah. Alex's campaign is one of my favourites. And I say that not just because he is my brother, but because it truly is a fantastic time.
Your brother.
Yeah.
I can say that. It's fine.
Unfortunately for Alex, he is related to me.
In fact, just looking right now, Snow Hope Part 1 is actually number 2.
I mean, for the record, Alex's second episode, I believe it was in the top spot for weeks on end.
Yes, and he never let me hear it, the end of it.
He kept updating me.
He was extremely proud, and I was extremely happy for him.
So was I. He should have been proud with all the work he's been putting into it.
Which is why he's not here today, because he's doing more editing on his hour show with me as we speak.
He's very dedicated.
Yes, or committed, or whatever, or should be committed. I'm not sure which. Have you got anything else, Kerry, that you want to mention that stands out from your D&D playing?
How much time have we got?
As long as you want.
It's not so much a moment, but I think it's just how, as much I love everybody's characters, but how much my own characters have grown on me. I'm specifically talking about my actual two favourite ones, who both started out as my least favourite characters, and that is Nunvark and Ran.
Maybe you started up, you didn't like them?
No. For Nunvark, in the beginning, I felt he had zero personality, and with Ran, I mean, no disrespect to anybody who loves barbarians, but just straight up barbarian isn't for me. I prefer magic casting.
But you've worked it quite well for him, haven't you?
Yeah. Nunvark developed a personality overnight and now has a backstory, which is kind of into the thousands of words, which I need to pare down a bit. And
as we found out at Christmas, 150 years ago, was told Santa didn't exist by his parents.
Yes. He was told Santa doesn't exist.
And he has proved them wrong.
He has proved them wrong. It was fun. I'm not so sure about Shard, but I think Nunvark was the only one who really knew what Santa was in that episode. At least in the beginning.
That's correct, yes.
Which was fun trying to explain to the others. Like, he's a fat guy with a beard.
Yeah, I like the fact that you turned into him and it completely... And Alex just rolled a bit completely. Like, you're up there, now you're in there. It's fantastic. He sells himself short sometimes, as Alex. He does.
He does.
He's listening back to this later on, he'll be cringing. I don't care.
I don't care. The Christmas episode itself was absolutely fantastic, though. It's definitely one of... if not, like, the best episode I've played. It's in my top 3.
The characters complement each other better than I could have hoped. For me, it was... the title was so easy to go with, Sleigh Ride. It was perfect. But it was the fact of, like, Alex said, I'll do the intro beforehand. I'm like, okay. So we did that. I'm Alex. And then he did this is Game Junkies, and then he didn't carry on the intro. I'm like, is that your intro? Okay. it was typical Alex, and that's why we love him.
We do love him.
The Halloween special was kind of fun as well, though.
It was.
Mainly because Reed got his ass kicked the whole time. Not by anyone apart from the bloody party. The party was what beat him up, not by the baddie.
I mean, wasn't he kicked down the stairs at some point?
Yes, he was. Yes, yes, yes.
I think one of my favourite moments in that episode was Mick trying to climb the wall and then just straight back to the bottom. It had to make a dex save to get out the way to avoid being squashed.
That'll do it. I think something else, going back to Alex's second episode, was where for him the boss of the episode was so easy because he didn't have to do any work at all.
Yes. I mean, was that the first time anybody in the whole of Dungeon Junkies had tried anything like that?
Turning someone against the other.
Yeah.
It's the first time it's happened, yeah.
There you go. Even more brownie points.
It is. It was genius is what it was. Because, ironically, it... we've seen a cloning thing happen once on Adventure, which is probably where he got a little inspiration. But you can take inspiration from everywhere, sort of thing. But never turn them evil, sort of thing.
No.
Yeah. Although, having said that, it really didn't last long. I wasn't gonna laugh long. A lie was having none of it.
Nobody messes with a lie. Except the DM.
Yeah. And Alex, if you're listening, which I know you are, please do send over a reason why I decided to spike a lie's drink. Because I'm like, what the?
We all love Reed, really.
I sincerely hope you do. Oh, dear. But anything else comes to your mind, Kerry?
I can't think of anything in particular.
You've got, I mean, obviously there's lots of other moments out there which we aren't mentioning. Mainly because you guys should go listen to the rest of our adventures on Dungeons & Junkies. I will say thank you very much, Kerry, for joining me for this episode, of course. Now part of the team full-time, of course, so you can dip in and out as you choose, of course, but you're one of us now.
Yay. One of them. One of them.
Absolutely. Social media wise, find Alex at Spiderbridge UK, of course. Kerry, you're at Sure Beans still.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
Sure Beans on Twitter. I don't post a lot, but I'm starting to get back into art, so maybe I'll start posting art. Who's to say?
You are quite the artist.
Thank you.
Really are. You can find me at the Matt Tech UK. And obviously find the show at Game Junkies Pod. I also need to make quite a big announcement now, and that is that Game Junkies Plays is now live on YouTube. We will be posting our gameplay of video, our gameplay videos and various other things up there. So please guys do go check it out. We'll be sharing the link in the description of the podcast and also up on our Twitter as well. So please do go check it out. As often as we can get one out to you, we'll be putting them up there. We're going to start things off by putting up some Hitman, because that's something I've always loved, and well, who doesn't love Hitman? Come on, Hitman 2 is good fun. Thank you very much indeed for listening. I'm Matt.
I'm Kerry.
We're the Game Junkies, and we're out of here.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.